The ability to really truly listen to people's feedback. I think that's the key to diversity, equity, and inclusion.
You've just heard from Claire Huang Sperandio, ICRC's Director of People and Culture, speaking about diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. Welcome back to Future of Work Conversations, a podcast all about the intersection of human talent and leadership in the shifting world of work. In this episode, Ms. Sperandio speaks with Cynthia Hansen, Managing Director of the Innovation Foundation, about the changing role of human resources in the humanitarian field, prioritizing training, coaching, and flexibility, and talent retention. Let's dive in.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Cynthia.
This is a really fantastic opportunity. So we've been wanting to include you in these Future of Work conversations. So just a little bit of background on those. This is this dialogue series we've been doing to talk about the changing role of HR and the more strategic positioning of HR, what's changing in the world of work, and to do this really from the leadership level. So the opportunity to then talk with you about how HR functions in the humanitarian sector and how it might be similar or different to other sectors that you've worked in. This is just really a pleasure. So very nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So maybe we can kick off and just know a little bit more about you.
With pleasure. So first of all, I was born and raised in Paris. I'm from both French and Vietnamese extraction. I studied business. And after my master's, I wanted to be a chartered accountant or controller. And so I started a role in compensation and benefits because there were numbers. And I really discovered a completely new world. And I started, you know, really shifting my interest away from numbers and into personal, interpersonal relationships and interactions. And I am still fascinated and passionate about, you know, human beings. They're just, there's no end to how much you learn. At the beginning of my career, things were very much in my head. So I was kind of thinking, it was very cognitive. And as I'm really advancing in my leadership journey, really more and more things are about the head and the heart. And there's a lot of intuition, but built on facts and data and thinking. But a lot of it is about what's happening here.
I think that also ties in nicely with this idea of how do you marry data and analysis with people and emotion? So, you know, coming out of banking, which of course is very numbers driven, and into the social sector, how do you find ways to balance those two or merge the two to get the best out of people?
I look at the data and the facts, and I also meet the people and hear their narrative, their story. And somehow the reality is in between the two. And both are really important. It cannot just be individual narratives. It cannot just be data. And it's got to be both. And I think the one thing where HR or people and culture has immensely evolved over the last years and has become more strategic is really in mastering people insights and through data by getting qualitative data in a much more organized fashion. The ability to really, truly listen to people's feedback. I think that's the key to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Really listen allows you to really sense what's going on and to move with the pace of things. Things shift so fast, so fast. I think that's the thing, you know, as leaders today that we have to manage is the pace of change. And you can only really understand that change and adapt to it by listening to the various signals that you get internally and externally. It's the compassion also. Being able to, I mean, compassionate leadership, you know, there's lots of things where leadership has advanced enormously. And one of it is compassionate leadership and inclusive leadership. And one of the common denominators is really listening and putting yourself in the shoes of the other person.
Do you think the humanitarian sector does that better or differently than, say, the banking sector or more traditional business sectors?
So fundamentally, I think there's not a whole lot of difference between people in whatever sector. Really, that might sound shocking, but the triggers and what is important to people and what inspires people tends to be universal. I don't think we listen to the same things in the private sector and in the non-for-profit sector. You know, in the private sector, for-profit sector, we listen to shareholders, we listen to clients, we listen to those who have made an investment and who want, you know, a return on investments. So they want a profit. The people that we listen to in non-for-profit and in my case in humanitarian work are what we call the people in need, the victims of armed conflict, and we listen to our donors. And donors, they give for people. And here the drive is people. So I think the big difference between the two is between the two sectors is that we listen maybe a little bit more to cost and profit in one, and a bit more on the people side in the other. Although there's always a cost component in humanitarian work, and obviously there's a people component in the private. So there's really no black and white.
I'm just curious, as you look at people who are coming into the ICRC from other sectors, what can you do to make sure that they are going to be successful? Or, you know, if it turns out that they're not going to be successful, what point do you make that call and then maybe coach the person in something else?
There's an enormous amount of training that is delivered at the ICRC for people to really get into what is the work that we do. So it starts with a 10-day induction training that we do in one of our five regions. And, you know, we do simulations where we talk with the military, with non-state our groups, where we negotiate situation of abduction. And on the training side, for example, we have a very, very thorough leadership program that leads to a master's in humanitarian leadership that we've developed with Lucel. So on the formal side, we do quite a bit. We do a lot in terms of coaching. So we have a network of coaches, pro bono coaches that other organizations dedicate to us, and we thank them for their generosity. And then there's the informal. And whenever I speak to someone who is asking for advice on, you know, how to move from one to the other, my advice are really do not try to copy and paste. These are very different. Every company actually has very different culture. You should never copy and paste anything. You should tap into the principles that you have accumulated, that you've learned, which are usually very relevant, but really adapting to listening to what is going on, what is the context, and adapting the solution to that very context is really important. And then the other thing is, we have lots of different aspects to our culture. So I couldn't say that people need to be this or that, but one thing that is really common to everyone is passion for humanity. People are very passionate here, very passionate. And I think if you have this passion, whatever is your style, I think you'll connect.
If you could look at one thing and make a suggestion that all employers across government, business, civil society, academia could do to change the way they more successfully attract, develop, retain talent, what would that be?
It would be flexibility. Flexibility is really the pattern that we're seeing, the increase of the need of flexibility from staff, from candidates is so evident. And I think obviously with COVID, this has just heightened the expectations for flexibility in terms of remote working, but flexibility goes way beyond remote working. So I think this is the now and the future is how flexible an employer can you be What sort of flexibility does each of your individuals need? Because it has a different color for each person. Your need for flexibility will be different from my need. And it's understanding, we're talking about listening skills. It's listening, understanding what flexibility the person needs and catering for it.
Thank you so much for the time. That was a great conversation. It was great to catch up with you and to hear your perspectives on how the world of work is changing. Thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Of course. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Future of Work Conversations. For more information about the Adecco Group and the latest insights on the world of work, head to our website at www.theadeccogroup.com. Did you like the episode? Be sure to like and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app. If you have any questions or topics you would like us to explore, please email us at futureofwork@adeccogroup.com. Don't worry, we don't spam. Until next time, thanks for listening.